everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/gabpod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This episode was originally recorded March 30th, 2017. Here's episode 37 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, though, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We are both sitting in Washington, D.C., not home of WrestleMania Batista tattoo in his front.
That's such an inside baseball reference. If you're not familiar with Dave Batista of Guardians of the Galaxy fame's star tattoo on his belly button, because nobody tells Dave Batista that he has a front tramp stamp. Yes, WrestleMania Sun, WrestleMania 33 this weekend.
Oh, WrestleMania Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, it's a good number. That song feels very different the closer you are to 33.
WrestleMania, speak to me in a moment, I can hear.
The ultimate thrill ride.
This is a great time to plug our book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. Find it at presidentwrestler.com. We have 10 URLs that we use interchangeably, and they all forward back to DonaldTrumpIsAWrestler.com. Yeah. By the way, that site was attempted to be hacked. It was phished not too long ago by the Russians. That is a...
You assume it's the Russians.
Okay. Speaking of the Russians, it is 5:34 on WrestleMania Eve.
It's not WrestleMania Eve.
The Thursday before WrestleMania. Is it Thursday? It's Thursday.
Thursday, March 30th. It's right at the top of your outline there.
I know. I'm looking at it. It's day what?
69.
Day 69 of the first run of the Trump championship reign. And it's been a fun day. We work on this outline. Is it safe to say all week?
Yeah.
Okay. So today, new stuff happened
Blew up the hours.
Yeah. So, okay. I've been following this all day. This is both our big show of the week, our swerve of the week, and alternative facts are still real to me of the week.
Well, it's a big show.
Oh. You get swerved.
Alternative facts are
still real to me, damn it.
There's a guy. His name is Nunez. Okay, so
are you explaining politics to small children or wrestling fans?
I don't understand at this point. So, okay, Nunez is the head of the House Intelligence Committee, investigating the ties to Russia, the potential
when they potentially stole the election.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Not a fucking mark. I don't care about that stuff. So he's in charge of that. He was also the guy being like, okay, we can't have Sally Yates testify. I'm going to go to the White House on the DL. JK, not on the DL. Everyone knows now. And it came out today, thanks to the New York Times, that he went to the White House to get information from the White House about the Trump White House.
To then give to the president.
That is correct.
Yes. So when we talk about this and we explain our book and our podcast, it's generally say, listen, we're not saying that this is all fake. This is all real, has very real consequences. Not saying it's a work and that the endings are predetermined like they're in wrestling. Except in this case where they literally are writing the book on the fly.
and no one will admit that they're holding the book.
Yeah.
This is horrible.
Yeah. Whoever those two people are, what's your guess who has the pencil right now? I mean, it's Bannon and Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely not Rance. Rance?
No.
No ranch dressing there.
RNC, PRBS.
Jesus Christ.
You're all over the place today, but it's been an exciting day. We're close to Mania. It's 3 days out.
So that is a giant deal. About an hour ago, his counterpart, the Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, gave a press conference.
Yeah.
And Schiff. He was shifts, and so things are breaking as we're recording this.
Right.
By the time WrestleMania, Dave Batista's front tattoo happens, more lies will have come out, and it's pretty much what you expect.
Yeah, it's not good.
So it's pretty much like, do you expect Hulk Hogan to go over every WrestleMania he's in? Yes.
Yeah.
Do you expect Trump to go over? Yes.
Yeah. We're dealing with what we thought we were dealing with here.
Yeah.
Wrestling is wrestling, and Donald Trump's administration is Donald Trump's
Carney's
administration.
Carney's going to Carn. So that's everything. And this, yeah. The reason why this is the big show of the week and the swerve of the week and alternative facts are still real to me should be obvious, but in case it's not, it's the big show of the week because it relates to Russia and how it relates to everything else in both American politics and international politics. It's the swerve of the week because lies exist, and it's alternative facts because really, you ever fell for this shit?
Yeah. I think the good swerve is that not only did he circumvent his responsibility, you don't meet at the place of the house, the White House of the man you're investigating, but you also don't like have a secret meeting in the White House and then go to like a different room with the information you just got.
This would have been amazing. Less dirty if they met at Trump Hotel.
Yeah, the Mayflower. The Mayflower Hotel, actually, that's not a Trump hotel, but that is where the Trump team was meeting with Russians. That also came out this week. There's more stuff.
They got buried.
No, yeah, it got buried. There's more stuff about how the Trump team has undisclosed meetings. It has to do with the timing of when Manafort came on, potential favors and deals they made with Russians. When they changed their meeting, this big speech they were going to have from the National Press Club to the non-secure rooms at the Mayflower Hotel where they could have a secret VIP meeting. One of the people in that meeting, in those meetings, was Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner's official title is the cerebral assassin of the White House. And until the Nunes stuff, the story was developing, I was sure this was going to be our big story going into Mania, is the fact that, like we've been saying, Jared Kushner is Triple H. He's still at Triple H. A bigger story this week that people were talking about was that Kushner will now head the White House Office of American Innovation, which they're referring to as a SWAT team of strategic consultants. This office will be tasked with reimagining Veterans Affairs, modernizing tech and data infrastructure of every federal department agency, remodeling workforce training, developing quote-unquote transformative projects, like the infrastructure plan, and providing broadband internet to everyone, and will also combat opioid abuse. So it's a lot to do. He has a lot of responsibilities they didn't have before, but he had ones before. You know, he was a shadow diplomat and the lead advisor on China, Mexico, Canada, the Middle East, and solving the Israel-Palestine
conflict. Thank you. Don't forget about that one. Just tack that on at the end.
Yeah.
He can do it.
Yeah.
It's the guy our age, he could do that.
That thing that has never, you know, been tasked for decades. So here's where why this is happening. In some cases, the office could direct the government functions be privatized or that existing contracts be awarded to new bidders. So yeah, it's just the grift.
It's privatizing everything.
Yeah, that's why they picked literally everything. They might privatize Israel-Palestine, like conflict resolution. You know, and Kushner's out there saying we should have excellent government, should be run like a great American company. You know, there's another guy who wants to run a great American company one day, and he's already doing most of the tasks that his father-in-law has given him.
God.
And that's Paul Triple H Levesque. The executive vice president of talent, live events, and creative. There was a good interview this week in, I believe, Rolling Stone with Triple H. You know, and it really goes in. We know all the things that Triple H does. It's like Vince is still the guy running the show, but Triple H is there. He's his right hand man. He's producing the TV shows. He oversees development and the Performance Center, all the NXT stuff. But in the last year, they've also added 205 Live, another show, a cruiserweight tournament, a UK tournament. He's also an on-air authority figure when he wants, and he'll be wrestling on Sunday in an unsanctioned match, which he'll still have a sanctioned entrance involving something from a heavy metal cover. And now he says, we're redefining what WWE is to the world, and we're doing that every day. And he's just got a lot of responsibilities. He's really busy.
Oh, God.
Is it messed up that Triple H has more, a guy who has no, you know, he doesn't have a college degree. He's an executive vice president of a billion-dollar company, has all these responsibilities, really primed to take over. He has more experience in the things he's doing than Jared Kushner, who's leading a SWAT team, kick down your door and give you a flashbang of government.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I thought that was going to be the big show this week.
No.
I know.
No. Just like everything in Triple H's career, no one really wants you to be the headliner, buddy. It's just, he's always there. He's never going to go away.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So I mean, that's there's a lot in politics going on. This stuff is all developing as it always is.
You know what's sad about it? Not one new thing. All of this has been from before the election. We knew about it all. There's not one new thing.
Russia, Manafort, Kushner's connections, all this stuff. Kushner being Triple H.
This is not new.
Yeah.
Once again, the only thing you need to know in both wrestling and politics are the lyrics for one of Triple H's multiple theme songs, The Game.
Yeah.
It's time to play the game.
Play that right now.
Yeah, pretty much. We should just be playing that underneath every podcast we have. It's literally the instruction manual for how to operate in both companies.
It's how to play the game and how you play it. And those guys both clearly know how to do that.
Could we, one last thing before we move on to WrestleMania. WrestleMania 33, speak to me in a language I can hear, / Dave Bautista's front tattoo.
Yes.
This morning's tweet from Universal Champion Donald Trump. It's Trump versus the Freedom Caucus. Here's the tweet. The Freedom Caucus will hurt the entire Republican agenda if they don't get on team, comma, and sign fast, period. We must fight them, comma, and sign, and Dems in 2018. So he's burying the Freedom Caucus right now.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. Don't dance with the one that brung you. Like, flip on them as soon as possible.
All right, so we summed up all of politics and all of the end of American democracy in roughly 10 minutes to move on to WrestleMania.
Yeah, the important story this week on day 69 of the Universal Championship reign.
Here's my entire issue with this year's WrestleMania. Because ESPN now works with the WWE, and because Trump is president, this is the least political they've ever been. There hasn't been one real journalism piece from this entire week of stories.
Right.
Last year, a few things slipped in when Kofi talked about Trump on the Cheap Heat podcast. Because at the time, Peter Rosenberg didn't work for the company.
Yeah.
Guess where Peter Rosenberg works?
Yeah.
For the company.
Be on the pre-show.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, therefore, you don't get David Shoemaker over there because it's in Orlando. Who the fuck wants to go to Florida? No offense.
I hate Florida.
Okay. Yeah. And then, so, if ESPN's not going to do real stories, Rolling Stone's writing puff pieces about it.
Yeah.
Men's Fitness is doing puff pieces about Jericho. We could be talking about steroid abuse. We could be talking about concussions. We could be talking about, I don't know, healthcare system and how it affects all of these guys. And they're building a literal theme park inside of an already existing football stadium, but we can't afford health insurance for our guys. Where's that story?
Yeah. Well, nobody wants, because of the way they control access, if you want to be able to do stories positive or negative, I mean, if you want to do any stories, you can't. You have to stay on the company line.
Clearly, Dave Meltzer does amazing work. We don't need to say that.
Yeah.
That being said, Meltzer's people don't want to read this stuff. But I think the general public that is concerned about healthcare, I don't know. This seems like the perfect time to write that story.
But like guys like Meltzer and stuff, they rely on sources, and so they can't burn.
I'm not saying it's Meltzer's responsibility.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah, in general, that's the same. They have a different angle of the same problem.
I think I'm venting here because you and I are those guys to write those stories.
Mm-hmm.
No editor wants to touch that because they're like, oh, I don't care about these flippy flompy toy men. They're not real people.
Yeah.
It's fucking real people, guys.
Yeah, they're still real to me. The fact that, that they're independent contractors in the gig economy, that's also a joke because the gigging is bleeding. But the fact that they're like 1099s when they're clearly full-time employees, like an Uber driver. Yeah, I mean, no one's really made those connections in any type of like business publication.
And it's
Uber drivers aren't on TV 5 hours a week.
Yeah, it's disappointing because this is the week to have it. I can't think of one editor that would want to run that story.
Right.
Because it's not fun or sexy in any way.
No, it's not. And it's
you could definitely have them talking about bullying.
Right. Whatever their company line is, whatever corporate good they're doing this week.
All right. Well, since I am a WWE stockholder, let's talk about WrestleMania 33. Speak to me in a language I can hear, / Dave Bautista's front tattoo.
Yeah. Quite a mouthful. I can see why they went with Ultimate Thrill Ride instead. I'm just going to start with where we left off with Triple H. So Triple H capping off a multi-year storyline.
I think Chris thought I was going to hit him in the face. I just made a very strong motion with my arm because I was so happy with my brain.
Okay, good.
This is an unsanctioned match against Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Why is it unsanctioned? I'm using air quotes.
Okay, because Seth Rollins is fake injured because it's a fake sport.
There we go.
Yeah.
So who's paying those insurance bills? I'm assuming at this point WWE, because he's on camera talent, they're using that as a storyline. The reason it's an unsanctioned match is because if Seth decides to sue, they're off the hook.
Right. But they're off the hook anyway because they're not actually paying those bills in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all nonsense. And also opens up their on the best WWE programming, Talking Smack, opens up the Daniel Bryan with like a real life hold harmless agreement to wrestle because they will not clear him because they're afraid his brain will explode. And he very much wants to wrestle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That match will be, I think, since it's unsanctioned, it's a street fight type match. I think, you know, we've seen both those guys in that type of match. I think it'll be fine. It won't be the headliner like last year. You know, Triple H's heavy metal entrance won't take.
What is with you and against Triple H's very badass, very cool, he's a dad entrance?
I mean,
with his wife narrating them.
That one, but that was actually the best part of the match. I just think it's funny because he thinks they're cool. And they're actually not cool.
They're the coolest thing at the Ultimate Thrill Ride.
Yeah. No, I think
it's going to be. Yeah. Are you excited for this match in any way?
In the meta way that hopefully this will move the storyline forward and Rollins can get out of this feud.
I hate this so much. There's not one good aspect of this for me. I'm sorry.
Of that match?
No. This is pretty much the second half of the card. Mm-hmm. We're not going in any specific order, by the way. I don't care.
Right. Okay, well, I think this is good if you're a fan of the product and you don't want to see Triple H come out there and keep fighting with Rollins. And it's like, this storyline should have ended earlier if Rollins hadn't.
Well, this storyline was supposed to be last year.
Yes. So, I mean, you know, not counting the time that Rollins is off, they've been building back to this and in fits and starts because he's had real injuries that they've made into fake injuries.
So, for the political analog, we've already explained it. Moving on.
Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton for the WWE Championship.
Of the main event headliner things, I don't even know how to describe it anymore because, like, is this going to be fourth to last? Is this going to be second to last? Is this going to be last?
It's definitely not
going to
be last.
Because that's, in theory, going to be Lesnar.
Goldberg, yes.
Goldberg, maybe, but
definitely it,
this could also go before or after Taker or before or after Triple H.
Yeah, it's weird. It's for their belt that they've been using for a long time, and it's not the top three matches.
This is very weird. Anyways. Yeah. I am excited for the in-ring product.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fair to say we both really enjoy Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, and I've liked the Randy Orton story, and they've stuck with the storyline and did all the beats they were supposed to and moved in a very pro-wrestling way. Randy Orton can't beat him, join him.
Yeah.
They wreaked havoc, and it was awesome, and then inevitably he turned on them because he's still a snake.
Yeah, this will be the most fun story to explain to people at your WrestleMania party what's happening.
It's a really good video package because it involves the ostensible good guy burning down the bad guy's place where he and desecrating the remains of his sister, and then Bray Wyatt rubs her ashes on himself to get power, but then Randy Orton put a crucifix because he couldn't say crucifix into the ground, and then fire powers left the ground. It looked like fireflies, I think.
Okay, so this is
fun. It's fun. It's pure. It's great wrestling. It's like Jake the Snake and Ultimate Warrior. It's like, doesn't have a political analog.
No, you're wrong. The political analog is Bray Wyatt's IRL dad is IRS.
Yeah.
And IRS best friend is Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, who is IRL Donald Trump. And more importantly, those guys hung out with fake Bill Clinton. At a WrestleMania about 20 years ago.
Yes. I'm glad your political connection definitely has nothing to do with real politics. So probably the thing that is the actual main event, Bill Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. This is a rematch. We've talked about this happened in WrestleMania 20 in New York when everything was new again. And here we are again. Goldberg's 50 years old. The best part of this build, if you did see on Monday night, was Paul Heyman, the advocate for the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar, saying that, well, Bill Goldberg will be dying. He will die on the Ultimate Thrill Ride, and then doing a prayer in Latin, and then catching himself and going to Brock, oh, that's not going to work. He's one of my guys, and then doing it in Hebrew. We should play that clip.
And so, ladies and gentlemen at home, you've now heard it for the final time on Monday Night Raw. The last Goldberg chant ever on a Monday night, because this Sunday at WrestleMania, they should rename the show WrestleMania 33, Death of a Superhero. Domini Sominis, in nomine Patri. That doesn't work. He's one of my...
Ishkadash, the Ishkadal, Shemei Roba. My client, Brock Lesnar, does not fear the spear, because this Sunday at WrestleMania, Goldberg, you can't survive the F5.
Yeah, he's still great. He's the best part about this whole feud.
Yeah.
So this is going to be good because it's going to be short.
Nobody knows. If it's not short, it's going to be real bad, because we've seen what happens when these guys have too long to work.
If it's that long, Goldberg might literally die.
Yeah. If he hits his head again on his way out, he might be dead.
A few questions for you. So there's reports of Bill Goldberg saying his current Universal Championship run has been awful. Is that true?
He clarified. He said it has been miserable. And so the joke is, yeah, for us too, because it's been really bad. But it's the fact that he has to train and eat and be in this physique at 50, and he's still in really, it looks really good, but it's a lot of work.
Got it.
So he said that's miserable, but he's having a lot of fun. It's great.
Okay.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
And then have you read about this Mark Hunt lawsuit delivery situation that he might deliver the lawsuit to Lesnar?
That'd be amazing, but it's not going to happen because Lesnar's done house shows and been advertised, and they could have.
Yeah, I know, but
he's been at Raw.
This is fun.
No, it's fun, yeah. I should put that on my bingo card if Mark Hunt's. If the processor or somehow gets into WrestleMania.
I'm the political analog for this is super, super basic. It's guys that peaked in the 90s that thought that they were the saviors of a political party. Bill Goldberg is Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and that's going down the same way because Brock Lesnar is going to be the champion, walking out, closing the show. So we can face Roman Reigns next year. Speaking of Roman Reigns, he will be against The Undertaker.
So, okay, The Undertaker's your favorite wrestler.
Yeah.
The Undead Wizard, great gimmick, best gimmick of all time.
Best gimmick of all time because he's the concept of death.
Are you excited for this match?
Yes, because I think it's the best chance the best match that we could have had with Taker at this point with what he can do was with Cena. That wasn't going to happen or didn't happen. They clearly want Reigns to not just on the streak, because the streak is done, but this should be Taker's last match. And in this interview in Rolling Stone, Triple H was saying, well, if he's getting booed 70% of the time, Roman Reigns, 70% of the fans, he's already the heel. Why do we have to say it? So they're going with, yeah, he's the heel. Like, we're just not going to, like, we're still going to play it both ways so that he can, you know, sell a lot of vests and punching gloves and Superman punch gloves, but also be booed by 70% of the audience. So the way he's been doing this whole feud of like, hey, old man, like, it's my yard now, I'm the big dog, he's the heel. And this is the biggest heel thing he could do, is retire Undertaker. And I think Roman Reigns, as we've said this whole time, he's also like Hillary Clinton. He's really, you know, is good at his job, but there's just too much like negative feeling about him.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be a pretty solid match. It'll be better than Triple H versus Roman Reigns, and I'm excited. And they haven't had this. It could actually be a once in a lifetime, because there's a good chance that Undertaker is not wrestling ever again.
We are four matches in. I still don't think we have clear heels and faces for any of these.
I disagree.
Triple H and Rollins. Rollins is now straight up good guy.
He is a baby face. And the promos and the story, and he gets the cheers that he is the face. And Triple H is, I mean, he gets some cheers, but he is clearly the bad
Orton's
guy.
Orton's the good guy, even though he burns down compounds.
No, that one's not clear, because it should be that it's tough. You can't have a guy say he's the face
Goldberg
of fear.
Goldberg is clearly the face, yes. Kind of, but he's getting his ass kicked clean. Or Lesnar's getting his ass kicked clean twice now by the guy. It's like, how does
Well, he's still the heel. He's just pissed off now because he lost.
And the Undertaker Reigns thing, they, like you just said, they're not saying we're the good guy or the bad guy. We're just the running the yard.
Yeah, it's a yard. It's a big dog yard match for the right to dig holes and take souls.
Okay. So far, so bad.
Yes. So another match. This is one where the face and heel dynamic is fucked, because this match shouldn't exist. Shane McMahon.
Okay, really quick, we need to clarify. Is Shane McMahon Donald Trump Jr. or Eric Trump?
The one who was the meme of sitting alone in the woods.
Donald Trump Jr.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, because he's Donald Trump Jr. Because, yeah, when Trump's heart explodes, only because of the way he eats, like, and his lifestyle, and this is a high-stress job.
Once again, it's not high stress, only if you want it to be high stress. Yeah. Hulk Hogan didn't want to be a good wrestler, so he wasn't.
Yeah. So, you know, when Donald Trump dies and the company goes to the cerebral assassin and Ivanka, and Donald Trump Jr., the namesake, gets passed over, that's what will happen to Shane. Shane is still, by all accounts, only on-screen talent in this fake commissioner role and as a fake wrestler, and he is not doing anything backstage, and any type of like creative is anything that they're just kind of playing off that assumption that he is backstage.
We should always point out every time that Shane McMahon comes up, he did run a company in Asia, but not that long ago.
Poorly.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. And he will be facing probably the best wrestler of his generation, AJ Styles, in a non-gimmick match, which they made this part of the story. I mean, he's still going to jump off something and hurt himself. But
Daddy, why don't you love me?
Yeah. And you can hear him, his heart breaking all the way down in slow motion. But in this one, yeah, AJ Styles is clear of the heel, but he gets cheered most of because he is the best wrestler of his generation. He also put his fake boss's head through a fake plate glass window. Good guys don't do that. Even Stone Cold, he didn't do that. Not even to his wife.
Are you excited to see this in any way?
Yeah, because AJ can make... AJ had a good match with James Ellsworth. And he got and he couldn't,
okay, sure,
he couldn't
sure, sure.
He couldn't do a super kick because there was not he couldn't kick him in the chin and he let Ellsworth out of a chin lock because he didn't have a chin, and when Ellsworth tried to tuck his non-chin on the Styles Clash and would have legit broken his neck, Styles changed the move in midair to protect Ellsworth from killing himself. So when they go for the second, I think there's a fantasy booking here of Shane when he realizes that he's not going to be the head of the WWE, tucks his chin on that second Styles Clash. Yeah, he's going to Owen Hart himself to get his father's love. Yeah, I think this match only because Shane will do something stupid and AJ will just put on a great match around him and will win because they're not going to get... The odds are on AJ, and I don't think they're going to give the rub to Shane.
This, by the way, when Chris says the odds are, Chris and I are members of the media, you IRL got an odd sheet mailed to you.
That's
yesterday.
Not the smart money. The smart money will come in like Sunday when people start leaking what's actually going to happen.
I just think that's great. I get emails being like, these are all the baseball picks, and you get, nope, you get the wrestling ones.
Oh, yeah, no, my career is going exactly how I planned. are you excited for that match at all?
This is the match... Other than explaining what the hell the Wyatt Orton match is, mm-hmm. this will be the match in the room where, like, you don't need to know the story. Just know that this is a father, and his dad is watching this, and he's going to do something very scary.
Yeah.
And everyone will hold their breath.
And just watch AJ Styles because you don't need to be told that. You can tell. No, I think you can tell when you start seeing him work that it's like, oh, this guy's.
Here's a quick aside that's somewhat related. What, do you have a favorite AJ Styles move?
Yeah, he does a. Okay, he runs to the. It's a moonsault. Inverted DDT. So he runs into the ropes. There's a guy running after him. He flips, does a moonsault, backflip off the ropes, catches the guy's neck under the crook of his arm, and then falls backward and DDTs them.
That's cool.
In one motion.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
My favorite is something super small he did. He was going to do that crazy jump thing into mm-hmm. the ring and like jump off the top rope and then do the super punch or something like that when he was facing Orton.
Oh, yes. This was great.
And then he just... goes right back to where he was. It was essentially a video game move to fake out the other guy. This is the first time I've ever seen that.
Yeah, that was the first time I had seen him do that, where the clear move with AJ Styles versus Orton would be, yeah, going for the phenomenal forearm, slingshot yourself off the ropes, and then land right in an RKO, the internet's favorite wrestling move other than the stunner. But because he's so smart, his character is so smart, he pump faked and got Orton on his back. Because he missed an RKO attempt.
I feel
and
like...
hit a 450 splash. So yeah.
I do think that would be a column or something where even non-wrestling fans could really mm-hmm. dig. Like, this is good storytelling. Here's why. Yeah. This makes logical sense. It's like he's scouting his opponent. Yeah. I love that. No one else is doing
the
that.
The Cena-Styles matches, when you've watched them together, you see that because there was moves that they were doing that were building off. And that's what good wrestling storytelling is.
In a blow-off match, when Cena did the thing that I've only seen like Japanese wrestlers do, the like...
Oh, the
I have no... I'm literally using C4, my fingers to explain nothing to Chris right now.
I know what it is.
That was amazing. Yeah. This makes sense. I feel like if there's actual storytelling here... Mm-hmm. It doesn't really necessarily, the moveset doesn't really matter, but if we can tell this story, we're going to be more captivated. Perfect way to segue to possibly the least ambitious storyline of the entire card.
Yeah, the biggest whiff, and they had an amazing storyline. They could have done it this exact match, but the build to this has been so horrible. For the Raw Women's Championship, this is a Fatal 4-Way versus Bayley, Charlotte, Sasha, and Nia Jax. Bayley is coming in as the champion, as the underdog champion, which you don't have a lot. You usually are an underdog and then win it against all odds. So they've already blown that by giving her the belt too early. They also blew any heat between Charlotte and Sasha by having them trade the belt for week after week. Every time they wrestle, it's fine. All these people wrestle, it's great. When they put them on the mic, it's really bad. The only way they can really solve this and get back on track with this great generation of women that they have, and they have this great opportunity of women of different shapes and sizes and looks and styles, is to have Sasha break Bayley, turn on her at this match, and win the belt and go back to being heel, because Sasha's a heel at versus Bayley was the best thing they've ever done in with women and up there with the men.
Sasha, mm-hmm. Charlotte, and Becky at WrestleMania Star featuring Jerry Jones was the match of the night.
Yes.
Hands down. No, not even up for debate at this point. There's been a consensus. Yet, two of the same people, one of the peers that were in the Four Horsewomen, and then someone I really enjoyed, mm-hmm. This does not make any sense. Why is there a big difference between those three and these four?
Because they haven't told a story.
Is it just story, though?
Yeah, because the story at this point, what needed to happen was Charlotte have the belt. Here's your story. Charlotte has kept the belt or traded with Sasha, whatever. So she's the heel. Nobody can beat her, except there's these people who have beat her before in Bayley and Sasha. Then there's this unstoppable monster, Nia Jax, who was unstoppable till she lost for some reason last month against Sasha. So you have everybody coming after her. And Charlotte, being kind of like that devious heel, she's playing these two friends, Sasha and Bayley, against each other, going, well, where was she when you were getting your ass kicked?
Well, that was the story.
Well, they kind of did it, and they've kind of done that. But by putting the belt on Bayley already, you've kind of blown the big triumphant thing where Bayley, either because or despite or against Sasha, whatever, wins and overcomes these odds, or Sasha turns on her, whatever. And then having Nia in it is this kind of like they built up this monster, and they should use her.
Okay.
To change this dynamic of the match.
Can we say at least this will have the second best entrance of the night? Saying that the Taker entrance is going to be the best is probably fair.
Yeah. I mean, Taker entrance just takes forever, but it'd be cool. I mean,
I think
I
it'll
know.
Be
something
I think,
with the New Day could be good with the entrance.
I think Bayley's inflatables.
The inflatables
will be very
yeah.
fun.
Yeah. And it fits the thrill, right?
Yeah. So yeah. That alone
that'll
is fun. So. My favorite match of the night is
this is going to be the best match of the night.
Okay, so we're not going to recap everything about Jericho Owens, but this is weird that I'm like, oh yeah, that 50-year-old and 39-year-old can't work, but this 46-year-old and 30-something, these guys are going to be great.
Yeah, because it's Jericho is an ageless wonder, and he's doing some of the best work of his career on the mic, and has only lost a half a step in the ring.
He's so good, and Kevin Owens is the best guy right now on the main roster.
Yes.
For both sides, I'd say.
Yeah, I think he's the best, yeah.
It's so fun. Roster. Anyways, the good versus evil, former best friends,
yeah.
Two Canadians vying for the U.S. Championship in Orlando.
So much of this is great. This really is going to be the great best in-ring storytelling. It calls back to their previous feuds they have had with other people. This should have, by all rights, should have been for the red belt for the Universal title. That wasn't going to happen because Vince McMahon is still alive. But whatever it's for, it's going to be a hell of a match. And
this will also be a very fun match to explain to your friends that don't watch wrestling but once a year, to be like, how is that fat guy doing all that stuff?
Yeah.
Because he's the best. That's
yeah,
it.
How is he doing moonsaults and doing the stuff that the 46-year-old's doing?
I think that Kevin Owens is a better wrestler than AJ Styles.
Oh, I actually don't. I think he might be a more complete package because his mic work. I think Styles has really stepped it up, but I think KO is better that way. I think Styles can do things that, and he hasn't shown it, but I think he can do even more than Owens. But it's close. I mean, they're both, these are both top guys.
Sure. Little preview. So this will be our first preview for our future episodes. From here on out, whenever there's a border wall update, we're going to have a brand new segment, Break the Walls Down, Trump's Mexican Border Wall Updates.
We are going to build a great border wall to stop illegal immigration.
Anytime we can play any music from the Attitude Era, I think we're going to have to take the opportunity.
My second favorite match of the night.
The best storytelling
on paper. If you don't know what's going on, if you're not following it, is easily the worst looking story of the night. If you are following it,
yeah,
it's great.
I think this is but it's an easy one to explain.
Sure. But name all of the great intergender tag team matches at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, there's one okay one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did it end in a marriage proposal?
No, because I was separate.
Okay.
But yeah. So this is John Cena and his real life girlfriend, Nikki Bella, against real life married couple, The Miz, Mike Mizanin and Maurice Mizanin. The Miz, you know, of real world fame and of headlining WrestleMania and beating John Cena before fame. The storyline of this is basically The Miz and his wife don't like John and Nikki. They say that they have a fake relationship and that they're holding everyone down in the company. They like good heels. There's evidence to suggest that they're right and that the stuff when they're saying things that it's a work, it kind of seems like a shoot. They've been doing great parodies of the Bellas and of John Cena's crazy house rules and the fact that he's a liar and doesn't love her and is not going to propose to her at this thing. And it's been great. And the in-ring will be interesting because no one's seen Maurice wrestle in like 5 years.
Yeah. And people have in... I think it's fair to say that John Cena's best in-ring stuff has been the last 2 years.
Yeah.
He probably peaked during the AJ Styles
The AJ Styles stuff and the U.S. title when he was doing a four-star match every week. Yeah,
so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So you got two guys peaking, even though one's about to be super part-time.
Right.
You have a woman that's also probably never been better
mm-hmm.
after returning from injury with just Nikki Bella.
Yeah.
And a giant question mark. On paper, horrible match. This will be one of the best of the night, if not the best.
And this has been, like I said, this has been the best, most coherent storyline. People have done, it's kind of great because it lets them do what they like is to, you know, they have all their products. They have Total Divas, they have Total Bellas, they got John Cena out doing all these other events, and they want to get that into the storyline, but they've never really inside wrestling until this feud, until the last couple of feuds, you didn't really mention that Cena was, he was like, he's the prototype and the Marine, but he's kind of asexual other than when he's like, sometimes he cuckold a guy.
That's not fair.
No, but like they never played off this, even though we all know it's his whatever girlfriend. They never played off it. And then the last few feuds, they kind of tested the water. Nikki was having feuds where people bring this up. John's having feuds where they're bringing up a lot. I mean, the same kind of thing, but it really has culminated all the feuds they've been having for 6 months.
Also, maybe the nastiest thing we've heard on wrestling programming since the death of Eddie Guerrero and the whole storyline for multiple years about Vicky Guerrero.
What's the particular line?
The closest you'll ever get to having kids is hosting the Kids' Choice Awards.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's good. But, I mean, at the same time, like, Nikki or Brie, one of them, they might be the same. I think it was Brie who said, Nikki, I wish you'd died in the womb. So, I mean, they've gone through this well before.
Was that in WWE or storyline, or was that total something?
That's on screen.
Okay. I still think this one's a little bit worse.
Yeah, no, that was a great line.
Sisters could say certain things. Siblings can get away with things.
Yeah, no, somebody's
not getting, Maurice.
Maurice is getting punched in the face, yeah. No, it's going to be good, and if it ends with a proposal...
It will... Yeah, that's really the prop bet here.
The prop bet is whether or not John Cena gets on one knee as they've been building up. If they don't, it's almost like you really fucked up. So, but it also furthers it because it's like, yeah, you did it in the ring. It's fake. It's fucking fake, you marks. So it's great in that.
Oh, yeah. We should mention that Al Roker is the in-ring announcer.
Yeah, guest ring announcer. That's a weird one. Maybe. I mean, he's there for the whatever the event is. So, yeah. Elizabeth, will you marry me? Yeah. So that's going to be.
FYI, in real life, Macho Man and Elizabeth were already married for multiple years, and they were in real life divorced soon after. And one of the only times they ever did this, the WWF magazine had to put out a sort of official statement explaining their divorce. And it was pretty much not mentioned again.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's going to be kind of interesting to see how this plays out in real life. A match that has really no heat. And it doesn't really deserve it.
This is a shame.
I know. Because I know we both like Dean Ambrose.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Dean
and
Ambrose
I really like Corbin. I think he's really come along in this year with Talking Smack and his in-ring.
Sure, but I'm never going to hear anything that exciting from Corbin.
Right.
But I might hear some weird Trump stuff from Ambrose.
Right.
I might, then that's what makes it more exciting.
For you, specifically, because you want that from...
That's all I want.
Yeah.
I only want them talking about politics, which no one else cares about. And I also like that Ambrose wrestles the same way Rowdy Piper wrestles,
right.
Which is and safe, and I'm never going to get hurt, so I could do this forever.
Yeah, he's a smart guy. They're having an Intercontinental Championship match. This will be like the first couple hours to try to pop the crowd with Ambrose. It's not even hot enough to go first, really.
It's really sad.
Because it's got...
The best part about the entire feud is Ambrose off the cuff clearly said, "You even stole my motorcycle sound for your intro song."
Yeah, see, there's good stuff here, and this was the match. This could have been the build he did last year with Lesnar, bringing out all his weapons in his wagon and circling the ring and just being a psychopath. That you could have done this with this guy.
Is it fair to say that no one has suffered more from the brand split than Dean Ambrose? Because at one point...
No, I think he did. He's done
good?
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay. He was the champion. He was the...
He was a champion before the brand split.
Through the brand split.
I know that.
Yeah,
but that's
saying,
what I'm...
I think when he had the belt before the brand split and we knew Vince was coming, he was like a paper champ where... I mean, they're all paper champs because it's fake. But the fact that we knew it was a placeholder until they could get a belt on Roman of some... You know, something like that. This actually, I think... Okay, so this match... has the potential of the best surprise at the best non-surprise surprise at Mania.
Agreed.
Also could probably open the show.
Agreed.
So this is the Raw Tag Championship ladder match between the club, Enzo and Cass, and Big Cass, and Cesaro and Sheamus.
So clearly the ladder stipulation is very important to this. The ladder stipulation was added recently.
On Monday, yeah.
And some other people will be in Orlando.
Yeah, so the Hardys... who are definitely coming back to the WWE at some point. They've just been added to they're not officially on this or in any way. They've been kind of like teasing it on Twitter a little bit and kind of going back and forth. But the Hardys trademark match of a triple threat ladders or tables, ladders and chairs match, you know, it's clearly they're going to be involved somehow. If it's not Sunday, it's Monday. I mean, but I can't imagine at this point why you wouldn't do this on Sunday.
Do they make an appearance or do they wrestle?
If you remember, I think it's the first Money in the Bank at WrestleMania. Matt Hardy came out of the stands and twist of fate someone off the ladder. I could see some sort of interference to set up the feud and just to make the place go fucking nuclear.
So does... I'm trying to figure
so
out
before
who actually
the Hardys, wins this. So the thing is, before the Hardys, I would say Enzo and Big Cass, they're NXT guys. You put the belts
on them. In Orlando.
You put the belts on them. No one really cares about the club. The Hardys thing actually makes it difficult because they're going to be faces no matter what you do with the Hardys at this point after the year they've had.
So do you keep it on the club simply to set up the feud?
Yeah, that could be it. Could be something that happens there.
Or do you let... Because, okay, yes, the deletion of Matt Hardy is not necessarily a face...
No,
or
but no, it's this weird Twitter thing, but because it's the Hardys and because everyone, you're going to have 100,000 people saying delete.
It's going to be great.
He's the face. I mean, that's just...
It's going to look most like a Trump rally, and I mean that in the worst possible way.
They're all going to be saying the same thing mindlessly?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the potential there. I mean, I think...
But it's okay, so let's go from start to finish. This is all... That's the show.
That's the show. That's
sort of backwards, kind
of
maybe.
The
first... thing is the ladder match. That's going to be great. Then Dean Ambrose. I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah.
Just because. And then Cena. And then Jericho. I'm done.
Yeah.
The first hour and a half, I don't
really
give a shit about
the rest. They're not
going to
put all that stuff. I mean,
I completely disagree.
Cena's going to get... No. Cena is going to be pretty late.
No, I disagreed. Think of WrestleMania 30. I think it's going to be like that.
Where he's in the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... But it's like, yeah. It's not the first hour, though. They don't just do all... They're going to space it.
First 90 minutes will be all the good stuff.
I will take the prop bet that Cena's after 120 minutes.
After 2 hours?
Yes.
I'll bet you on that.
All
I'm going to go with Triple H Rollins gets a good hour. And I know you're laughing, but
The intros, yeah. And that's the crazy thing is that this, with all that wrestling, there are still three more matches that happened before this, starting at 5 o'clock.
Really quick.
In the pre-show.
There's also a national anthem. There's also a special musical performance by Pitbull.
Pitbull and Flo Rida. And
oh boy.
Lynch Money Lewis, but the
oh boy.
The America the Beautiful sung by Tinashe, 2 years in a row, they're doing the concert I would book. They had Fifth Harmony last year. And so the concert with Pitbull and Flo Rida bumped one of these matches the pre-show. So you can pick which one. So one of them is the SmackDown Women's Championship six-pack challenge. They decide on Tuesday. It's not, there's not going to be any swerve of who's coming back. Basically, the only swerve was, is Naomi going to be able to go?
Okay, so this is both good and bad. Good because Naomi's great and she deserves to win in Orlando where she's from. Yes. This is going to be the Pulse tribute.
Yes. Okay, did you watch Tuesday? Did you watch SmackDown?
I did.
Okay, Naomi coming down and hurricane running Natty on the ramp and then punching Alexa in the face and then getting the biggest, like the highest rear view she's got. I mean, it helps that Alexa's about 3 feet tall, but she had her ass right in her face. It was, it looked really good. And she's, the most important thing is she's so over. She was getting people to scream, to chant, feel the glow, which is, I don't even know what that means.
Horrible catchphrase.
It's really bad. She's really over because they told a story. It's shocking.
So everything, we've been saying this for months, everything on SmackDown Live is better than Raw.
Yeah.
That being said, Naomi, I don't know if it was real hurt last pay-per-view.
Yeah,
did she actually get really hurt?
Yes, because and it's actually Alexa's fault because Alexa moved when she did. You can see on it where she didn't, she hit her knee funny on her because she would, Alexa was out of position because neither of them is particularly good wrestlers.
So this is a shame because Naomi, that was her first title run. It lasted for an episode because she had to relinquish the belt, and it was touching. We've talked about it on this show. She was supposed to go into Orlando as the champion and win and be on the main show. Right.
But here's the thing. It's actually even better that she now gets to be, she gets to, it's like a Daniel Bryan thing. She's now, she's the underdog. It's like if Bayley had won it and then lost it because of shenanigans and then really wins it.
Sure, sure.
So they're doing, once again, the women here. So it's Alexa Bliss, Becky Lynch, Natalia, Mickie James, Carmella, accompanied by James Ellsworth, and Naomi. That actually has potential to be, because of the other one, it could be a better match.
It's going to be a better match.
The other women's match.
Oh, yeah. I'm disappointed that this is on the undercard.
Of course.
That's all.
And I have, there's more, you know, disappointment. Not really with this match. This match is fine. A good build. Neville versus Austin Aries for the Cruiserweight Championship. That's a perfect pre-show match to start the show.
Potential because, to be the best match of the night as well.
Yes, because once again, these guys who kind of, they weren't in the WWE because, yeah, they weren't, they were small and they played for the other team and all that stuff. But they've also done much better than even, like AJ Styles in ring, everybody knew, but his, watch his TNA promos, not exactly lighting the world on fire. Austin Aries kind of like had one good run in TNA as a heel and like he did a lot of Ring of Honor stuff. He's been out there like he's fighting for his job and they're going to have a great fucking match. The Battle Royale for the Andre the Giant Memorial Trophy, which is features Big Show, Braun Strowman, Sami Zayn, Mojo, all the tag teams, all the jobbers.
I am disappointed that this is not on the main show.
Okay.
Because this is the, in past, if memory serves correct, this would be one that they have like all of the announcers.
Maybe.
Because the brand split, so you need to pick everybody. That's when you're going to hear crazy Trump stuff. That's when you're going to hear crazy current event stuff.
Right.
Because it's on the pre-show, not as many people are going to watch it. They're probably not going to put the whole announce team on it.
No.
It's, that's a disappointment.
Right. And it's going to either be, I know you want Mojo Rawley.
No. Yeah. I didn't say I want Mojo Rawley.
No, you think it's going to be Mojo Rawley because of the connection to Gronk.
Yeah.
It's going to be Braun Strowman because they fucked him up by, they made him unstoppable monster. He lost for no reason. He's not even on the card.
Yeah, you gotta, but give, unless him, you throw him in the Undertaker thing.
No, he's going to win this thing.
Unless you throw him in the Undertaker thing.
All right. Potentially.
Or Big Show because he's supposed to wrestle Shaq.
Yeah.
So he could win. Or Sami Zayn because he actually has a good storyline in a good position on Raw.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be that surprising.
But Braun Strowman is also a big, strong man, and Vince McMahon's still alive, so he's
going
to win it.
Or it goes to Dolph Ziggler. Ultimate swerve.
Yeah, that is definitely not happening. Yeah, speaking of the announcers, so one of the things we didn't really touch on, I don't know if we talked about it last week, Mauro Ranallo has been on SmackDown for about 9 months. He's a former UFC announcer. He's been the best announcer. We did talk about this. He's the best announcer. He hasn't been on. He's been dealing with some depression, which is, he's been public about his mental health status for years. Been a kind of unofficial spokesperson for that and being open about it. The kind of backstage rumors is that the JBL stuff wasn't just some ribbing or some like in character. You know,
Wait a second. You're saying Texas oil man and Fox Business contributor JBL was mean to a man?
Goose stepping.
Wait a second.
Yes.
You're saying man that threw out the Guerreros on the border, even though they're from California and Texas, is a bad man?
Yeah. You know, the guy who like maybe rape guys to be like, haha, rape the rookie.
What?
Well, I mean, rape like with a toothbrush or something.
You're sane.
I know. All this is unbelievable that this happens in the world of wrestling. But here, I'm here to tell you that it's the real deal.
So what did JBL do?
JBL, like, Mauro won, like, Wrestler Observer's Announcer of the Year and put it on Twitter. And then, like, JBL is probably, like, busting his balls. He's been busting
Wait a second. You're saying JBL from the same computer, he looks at nude women bodybuilders?
Yeah. Yeah, he was upset about something that happened on Twitter because it bothered him when he was trying to jerk off. And, yeah, no, and he really made this guy's life hell, and now he's missed. But Mauro, super savvy, too. He's put all this, not the accusations, but he's put hashtag mental health. He's put, I'm feeling better. You know, I wish all love to my WWE family. I'll see you guys soon. Implying he's not going to be at WrestleMania. But at this point, they can't fire him because they're going to have a huge lawsuit on their hands and the one that they will lose. Because he's really smart to get ahead of it and be like,
I hope you're right.
Yeah,
I don't know
if they're going to fire JBL, but there might be a shakeup. I mean, he's not going to get
it. I'm going to go with no.
Right. I mean, they could.
I think toothbrush Nazi rapist who works for Fox Business is pretty safe in the WWE. This is the second really sad mental health kind of story of the week.
Yeah.
Other being Paige.
Right.
There's a story coming out this week that she wants to harm herself. And
right.
It's not a good time.
No. And she allegedly got married yesterday, but I haven't seen anything about that.
Yeah. My wife was asking me about that. I was like, don't worry.
Well, it's a work.
Yeah.
Del Rio would no-show his own wedding, so.
He had to open a restaurant. Yeah. He got stabbed on the way to the restaurant.
It's a total real thing that happened. A couple things we got to touch on here. New Day being the host, not being on the card. How do you feel about that?
Completely indifferent. They clearly didn't have a storyline for these guys. This reminds me of the women's division on Raw as well. I can't think of any other women's wrestlers on Raw. Seriously.
There aren't any.
There's
Dana Brooke.
That's it?
Well, there's Emma. There's
exactly.
Summer Rae might be hurt.
Exactly. So, and then I feel the same way about the tag team division. How is SmackDown Live, which has fewer people on it, seem more healthy?
Oh, yeah, that's the big one. We were talking about, like, it's a shame, like, Naomi. The SmackDown title is not even on the pre-show, and the Usos are doing the best work they've ever done. You have the American Alpha.
I'm way more interested in that entire division.
Yeah, they had a great, even their 10-man was, like, this great little parade of finishers and stuff. It's a real shame that it's still, even though it's the A show, it's the B show to them.
But this brings us to New Day.
Yes.
Are they the most over guys right now?
They're still pretty up there.
Merch?
I mean. Oh, they're up there with merch, I think. I mean, they're still like.
Because that's really what matters at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we like Kevin Owens, but like, yeah, New Day. If that was a singles wrestler, they would have the belt.
And New Day can't do this forever and just have like ice cream pops, which by the way are not ice cream. They're selling ices. Okay?
I know, but the fact that they're called New Day Pops is.
Yeah, no, that's great. But,
brilliant.
Yeah. They're probably, after the sex tape, they're probably better that they weren't doing a cream-based product anyway. No, it's kind of like, I think it's going to be better than when Rock hosted because there'll be funny bits, there'll be funny segments. It'll be in small doses. They don't have to cut an actual promo. They'll probably open the show, do a couple backstage things, potentially get involved if one of these other people
shows
up.
I would actually love to see?
What?
They enter the Andre the Giant Battle Royale and they win.
Yeah, and don't eliminate any of them.
No.
Yeah. That'd be great. Don't know if it's going to happen, but
I've said this on the show multiple times. I want them to have every belt.
That's a no-brainer. They should do what the Hardys are doing with indie wrestling tag belts. So a couple quick hits of who's going to show up. Is The Rock going to be there in ring?
Oh, like in...
Not
shiny boots and...
No, yeah,
Speedo?
Maybe not like giving The Rock bottom to Eric Rowan, but is he going to show up?
I'm going to go with yes.
Okay.
He hasn't missed one in a long time.
What's coming out April 14th?
We've talked about this a long time. Fate of the Furious is out April 14th. We thought that there would be a Vin Diesel Rock fight and that
something.
They booked this like 9 months ago.
Yeah. There's rumors this week in the last couple days that they're being kept separate on the press tour.
Once again, this makes me think that the John Cena match will be in the first 2 hours.
Right.
And this Vin Diesel Rock stare down is a hour 3:24.
Yeah. Is it maybe that Rock just doesn't like Diesel?
You just want to play that fucking Diesel music.
Yeah, I want to play that horn.
Well, it's playing right now.
Yeah. Okay. One that we've gone back and forth on. I think after we, I think we disagree on this. I don't think Hulk Hogan will be there.
Yeah, I think Hogan is no go.
There's no. I don't think there's any.
I think 2 weeks ago, good chance of Hogan.
So thank you to whoever hacked Brad Maddox, kept Hogan.
I also think that if Hogan, okay, if the healthcare bill passes, Hogan's there.
You overthink that.
Oh, for sure. Yes. For sure.
It has no. It's the sex tape. They don't want, whether or not the sex tape was the problem, he was on TV after the sex tape. They don't want anybody making that.
I'm glad for the New Day's sake, which is a weird thing to say, that Hogan's not going to be there.
Oh, that they don't have to put over a racist 2 years in a row?
Just because you wear a Confederate flag on your face doesn't make you a racist, Chris. It makes you a proud racist.
I mean, yeah. When Roddy Piper wore blackface, he was just saying that he's two-faced. And one of those faces was a black man's face.
Who did they induct last year? Not that I keep thinking the Rock and Roll Express, but that's this year.
Yeah, no, it's
the Fabulous Freebirds. Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Okay, the big one, the Hall of Famer that we all want to know if he's going to be there.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The other guy.
Sting.
The other guy.
I don't think that, I think that's all in the Hall of Fame. I do not think Trump will be there, nor will they do a video package.
I think after these last 69 days.
Seriously, 3 weeks ago, if they pass ACHA. Yeah.
If he is not coming out, I mean, the news, what is there to get from this? We know that there's nothing for them to get. They don't like.
Yeah.
Unless it's Roman Reigns, they don't want half the audience booing.
This is really disappointing. And what really solidified it for me was the Nationals baseball tour. I did a media tour, and at the top of the tour, we all had questions like, is Trump throwing at the first pitch or watch? And this is the day that came out. And they're like, we don't know.
Yeah.
By the end of that two-hour tour, we got to break the news saying he's not throwing at the first pitch. If he's not able to throw out the first pitch.
Which is an actual presidential tradition.
At America's pastime, at a stadium that honors presidents. There's a president's race at Nationals Park every game. There's quotes from every president in the park. It's not going to happen. It's so disappointing.
Yeah, it was a good opportunity. I mean, I know it's in bums you out because that's what you wanted to see more than anything was Trump Hogan at a.
Any other like weird fun prop bet? Like,
no.
Does Brie give birth after the Nikki Bella match to steal the spotlight?
I mean,
that'd be pretty cool.
That's some petty shit. Yeah,
I really hope Renee and Dean are okay. I'm thinking about them. I'm worried about them.
I think they're fine.
He's not gonna be too good for this company.
He's not gonna be the IC champion, but he'll be fine. He'll still be going home to Vegas with Renee Young, so he's doing all right.
I guess. Is there anything like that we should be looking out for? Like,
somebody online. No, I know. There's a lot of missing stuff. I still think a lot of this wrestling will actually be good, and some of the storytelling will be good despite themselves. Because it's the ultimate thrill ride, and people want to put it on a good show. And I will, this is not even get credited to anyone, because it was just someone on the internet. And if it happens on the internet, you can just steal it. When Nikki pops the question to Cena, Undertaker's gong hits, and Undertaker's eyes roll back in his head, and now he's the Undertaker.